All four candles of Advent are lit, and that means that we literally sit right on the verge of where the world sat some 2,000 years ago when this prophecy of Isaiah from Isaiah 9:6, and if you've got your Bibles, you should open them to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you're a guest with us or whatnot, maybe from out of town, that kind of thing, there are Bibles that are right there in the book racks right in front of you. So you can pull one out and open it up to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This prophecy of Isaiah coming many, many years, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born. For a child will be born to us. For those of you that have been in church last few weeks, we've been talking about the kingdom of Israel at that time. The kingdom of Israel was split into two different pieces, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was Israel, and the southern kingdom was Judah. And Judah, which is the kingdom that Isaiah is writing to, was led by a king named Ahaz. Ahaz was an evil king, and he plummeted the country into darkness. He made alliances with foreign countries that were evil and that God had warned him against. And those alliances actually took his brethren in Israel, the kingdom to the north, took them into captivity. They were overtaken and taken into captivity. And Israel, the little country to the south, was all that was left. And they were in darkness. And God speaks to them and he says, "You are a people that are in darkness." And it reminds us that we also are a people that despite living in the greatest country in the world, still are people that are in darkness. And we eagerly anticipate the coming of our Lord. And just in the same way that the Jews anticipated the first advent, we anticipate the second advent. And so these words are intense and they're poignant and they are meaningful to us. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given. It's interesting that as we read this, the Jews were looking for a military leader. The Jews were looking for someone powerful that could do something. The Jews were looking for someone that could overtake the amazing Roman war machine. And what does God promise? A baby. In the midst of the darkness, what do you see? You see the face of a baby poking out. A son that comes, that will be given. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And so you would perceive that he is going to be someone of tremendous, tremendous power and stature. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. In a day and age when everything seems wise, having a truly wonderful counselor, one that was marked by true wisdom, wisdom that came from God, was desperately needed. Is that desperately needed in your life? A relationship with Jesus Christ is available to everyone that will call on Messiah as their Lord. And he provides us with wonderful counsel. Not just the counsel that comes from family or friends, which is good counsel, but truly wonderful, above and beyond, counsel and wisdom that comes from God himself. The next title that's there in Isaiah 9:6 is that he is a mighty God. Our youth pastor talked about this just a couple of weeks ago in the church service. And Brian shared about how great it is to have a God that is mighty. Mighty enough to secure salvation for us. Not some God that is of our own making. But a God that is truly and genuinely powerful. And can secure redemption for his people. A people that are in darkness. He can bring them out. And he is mighty to do so. And last Sunday we talked about Eternal Father. The great characteristics of fatherhood that God brings to us. And that it is not just temporal, like the father that I am for my kids, or the father that all of you have experienced. This is an eternal fatherhood, an everlasting fatherhood, one that is going to last forever. And that should give us great security. Security that God will not leave us, that he will not abandon us. And tonight, we will look at Prince of Peace. We're not going to take a long time. If you're looking for the rest of my outline and you're surprised, you're like, "Oh my goodness, Chris got this down to 3 points? You got to be kidding me." Well, I'll just remind you that everything I've said so far, I haven't even started the outline yet. So this last title, number one, letter A, of for Messiah is Prince of Peace. The title of Prince is one reserved for the leader. the chieftain, the captain of the guard. Like previous titles in Isaiah 9, it speaks of one who is powerful enough to guarantee the outcome. As we come down to Christmas, as we wake up tomorrow morning and we are reminded that God gave us the greatest gift ever, and we share gifts with each other, As kind of we follow the example of God, our Father, giving us great gifts, we are going to be giving great gifts to each other tomorrow morning. Some of you have already started that, like my family, who celebrated Christmas last night. This gift-giving extends out even beyond Christmas Day. It extends out to the entire season. As you think about the gift that God has given you, I want to remind you that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is called a prince in the Bible. Not a prince just as a title, just because they were looking for something that would rhyme with the next word, peace. Because, you know, in Hebrew, it's Sar Shalom. So it doesn't even go together. All right? So Prince of Peace is just a fancy way for us in English to kind of alliterate who the Messiah, Jesus Christ, really is. He is a prince. He has the power to accomplish things in your life and in my life that we cannot do. He is the captain, my captain, your captain, if you have trusted in him with your whole life. He is powerful enough to guarantee the outcomes that he promises. Some of us, when it comes down to Christmas time, we get lost in all the wrappings and the trimmings and the tree and the Grinch and everything else, right? It's just it's a production. I've been in my kitchen making everything from bacon-wrapped Smokies to fudge to cookies, and I'm freezing things and cooking things, and I love this kind of thing, but isn't it easy? Isn't it easy just to get caught up in all of it and to forget? There's a Prince of Peace that we are celebrating. That candle is a different color because it represents Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The one that we've been waiting for. He came for real. And he brings all of these things into our lives. Letter B, the word peace, which in Hebrew is shalom. That might be a familiar word to you if you've ever been around folks that are Jewish, or if, like me, you've ever taken Hebrew, your teacher or those friends of yours that are Jewish will commonly greet you with shalom. It is a greeting of peace. It is a greeting that is that reminds every Jewish person that God, the God of heaven, has reached down and secured peace with them. The word peace means welfare. It means, or the word shalom, I'm sorry, means welfare, peace, tranquility, or contentment. As a Prince of Peace, the Messiah was bringing to the Jews and to us something that we ourselves could not secure on our own, and that is peace with God. See, mankind had chosen to step out of relationship with God and put himself into a position of not having a peaceful relationship with God. Every one of us feel that at one time or another in our lives. When we do something wrong, when we walk away from God, when we disobey our parents, when we do something that is bad, like eat fudge that you are not supposed to be eating during this Christmas. When we do these kinds of things, whether they are trivial or genuine, we feel that conflict that exists. That conflict that exists between mankind and God. But by virtue of the Messiah coming, he brings peace. He is the prince. He has the power to do it. And he brings peace between mankind and God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're quick with your Bible, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. All of the prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament made some 800 to, gosh, over 3,000 years before he was born. Every single one of them came true in Jesus Christ. God came through in every possible way with the life of Jesus Christ. If you sit there and you're a guest with us tonight, and perhaps you got rung in to come into a Christmas Eve service, and you're like, when can we get to eating? When are those presents coming? when will this bald guy shut up and let us get on with what this season is really all about? I just want to invite you to this one simple thing. If you've never considered the claims of Jesus Christ, would you at least consider that there are dozens upon dozens of predictions made about who the Messiah was in the Old Testament, documented, right? 800 to 3,000 plus years before he was ever born. And Jesus Christ documented in the New Testament in a different language, hundreds, thousands of years later, fulfilled every one of those predictions. Jesus Christ is extraordinary because he truly is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an eternal Father, and truly is Prince of Peace. Everything that he said he could do, he is able to accomplish. And the Bible says that he is able to accomplish peace between you and God. Where naturally there would be hostility, there is peace that is offered to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 describes it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ the Messiah, and gave us the ministry also of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's another word for sins, against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And I share this with you, because the real meaning behind Prince of Peace is not just that Jesus Christ wants to cozy up next to you tomorrow morning and make you feel all warm inside, give you a little hot chocolate, a little nice time tomorrow morning, and just kind of give you the big holy hug. It's not just about these things. Probably a lot of you, like me, will read the Luke chapter 2 story tomorrow morning. I'm even preaching on it tomorrow in church. The Luke chapter 2 story, and it's just filled with rich imagery. There was no room in the inn, and they had to go have the baby in a stable, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. All this wonderfully great story that is there. You'll probably read that, a lot of you, before you tear into all that wrapping and presents and giving of everything. As you do, can I remind you that Jesus Christ came with a tremendous purpose into this world. And it was to be truly a prince, a leader in peace. And not just peace that we think of, like peace with each other or peace on earth, but truly bringing peace between you and a mighty God. You and a holy God. You and a God that you could not possibly have a relationship with were it not for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 details this, that this was the purpose of Christ's life, to bring reconciliation, and that we ourselves have been given this ministry of reconciliation. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be reconcilers, not adding poison into a relationship, but adding peace into a relationship. That's probably a good word for us right now, isn't it? Being that we're around family, right? And you don't look at anybody right now, all right? Because it could give the whole thing away that they bug you, all right? I see some of your heads turning. But isn't it a good thing to be reminded that Jesus Christ came to make peace between God and mankind, two parties that have a natural hostility towards one another, that God stepped into that situation and sent his only beloved Son so that he could communicate effectively how much he loves you. And how much he loves us. And he made a way through this relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ for us to be reconciled, for us to have peace with God. Something that just seems crazy when you read about what it means to be a sinner in the face of a holy God. Jesus Christ has made a way. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the ultimate when it comes to bringing peace between God and man. Isn't it a good thing, though, to be reminded about that when you're around crazy family? I'm going down to Mission Viejo, and I'm going to be with them. I come from a broken home, so my dad's got his girlfriend, and we're going to be there all in the same room. I've got some family that's flying in from out of town that we haven't seen in a long time. I've got all the all the relationship that I had with my two little sisters that'll be right there in the room. And we're 40, but believe me, we were just as competitive as we were when we were 10. Do you have this kind of a family? I do. I have that kind of a family. And you know, it's good for me to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ and remember that He came to offer shalom, peace. I love how that word rolls off the tongue. It's got a certain Hebrewness to it, right? It's got a certain Jewishness to it. It's, you know, shalom. It feels right in your soul to say shalom. It truly means peace. When it's used as a greeting, it literally means peace I give to you. There's all kinds of words that they connect to it, shalom aleichem and all these other things. But suffice it to say that when we greet one another with shalom, we are extending the warmest sense of peace. And we are being reminded that through Jesus Christ, through the Messiah, we have peace with God. Why? Because it's one of the very titles of the Messiah. He came to be our leader, our captain, in bringing peace to us. A peace that can exist with God. This is one of the truest meanings behind Christmas. We fill Christmas with some wonderful traditions. Let us not miss that He is truly the Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace. It was predicted by Isaiah, and it was fulfilled by Messiah Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, turn them to Luke chapter 1, right before the famous narrative about Jesus' birth. Luke chapter 1, most of you will start reading in chapter 2. I was reading through and I was reminded of these verses right at the end of Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 76. And you, child, this is, by the way, Zacharias's prophecy, his blessing that he pours out on Jesus in the temple. You, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. You ever thought of Jesus that way? That His birth is the sunrise. His birth breaks the night. His birth brings light into a darkened world. To shine upon, verse 79, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of shalom, peace. This is the ministry of the Messiah. This is the truth that Messiah Jesus fulfilled. The light of peace pressing into the darkness of our lives, reconciling the world to God through Jesus Christ in our great Christmas shalom to all. Tonight, as part of our Christmas Eve service, we like to have a candle lighting. But unlike some of the candle lightings that we've done in the past, I would like you to, first I'd like you to take out your candles and make sure that you've got them handy. And what I'd like to do as the worship team comes and they're going to help us worship during this time, what I'd like to do is encourage you. What I will do is I will light the first candles that are right here up in the front, right on the aisle. And what I'd like the people on the aisle to do is I'd like you to turn around and light the candle behind you first, and then I'd like you to light the candle next to you and send it down your rows. But the first thing you got to do is light the candle behind you to get the row behind you going. So that's the procedure of how we're going to do this. So I'll start with Jessa and Gary, and then we will light up the rest of the room. And let's not miss our folks on the wing, all right? We don't want you guys without burning. So here's the thing, though. As you light the person, as you light the candle, the person next to you, I'd like you to light their candle, and I'd like you to actually say to them, shalom. Shalom. All right. Everybody, one, two, three. Shalom. Good. See, it rolls right off the tongue. Isn't it nice? The Hebrew language is a thing of beauty. A thing of beauty. So, tonight, as you hold that lit candle, I want you to think about Jesus Christ, the sunrise, the one who breaks the night with the dawn, the one who has come and offered his life so that you could be reconciled to God. And then, as the whole room is lit, you can just hold your candle up after it's lit. Try your best to not spill wax on your friends. But as you're holding up that candle, I just want you to remember that Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. And if you, during this Christmas season, have never had a relationship with him, he can be the light that is in the midst of your world, bringing light into the darkness of your world. For those of us that know Jesus, thank him during this time. As you sing and you worship, thank him for bringing light into the darkness. Thank him for not just leaving you and me alone. Thank him for being our great Shalom. Let's stand together.